Thank you for subscribing to the Unamended Christadelphian Audio Archive Podcast. For more exhortations, classes, Sunday school lessons, and study guides, please visit our website at www.christadelphianaudio.org.
My dear brothers and sisters and fellow students of the New England Bible School, this is a day of feasting, a day when we stop to consider the week before us. And I thought it rather fitting tonight to discuss with you, where do you stand in the eyes of God? There are two phases that I would like to talk about. One, how should we appear to God from a self-examination? And second, what is required of us by God in order to see Him? We all want to see God. That is our desire, or we wouldn't be here at the Bible school. So it's rather important to us to consider this important subject. How should we appear to God? As a baby, we have no choice in the matter. We come into this world and we grow. As we develop, we reach the state of childhood, at which time we are sent to school and to learn. We spend probably one day a week at Sunday school learning about God. We hear God spoken in our home, and we wonder who He is. We spend our youth reading over the stories that are in God's Word. For God has been very gracious unto us in that He has left for us His words concerning what has happened in a time when we did not live, starting with Adam down through the time of Christ. Now these things are all written, we know, for our admonition and learning. Many of the stories we read in our youth we don't understand. They don't seem to make sense. Why should God, in the first chapter of Genesis, repeat His own name 35 times? Why should He tell us about the account of Cain and Abel, two men who offered sacrifices to God? God signifying His acceptance of one and His rejection of the other. Why does He tell us about the days of Noah, wherein the wickedness in the earth was so great that it displeased God? And because it did displease Him, He destroyed the people in Noah's day. Are these important facts to us in our youth, in our study, or our self-examination? I believe they are. We read about Solomon and all his wisdom. And you know, Solomon leaves us good counsel for self-examination. I would like to read a portion of the book of Proverbs to you. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. These are the words of Solomon. He was a wise man. God gave him wisdom. These are God's words. The second chapter, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, Yet if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Do we seek for silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure? These are God's instructions to us. We thirst for knowledge. That's the beauty of this Bible school, brothers and sisters. We come here desiring to hear, desiring to be fed from God's word, to give wise counsel one with another, to discuss subjects which we do not normally have a chance to discuss. As we discuss these subjects one with another, are we not evaluating ourselves in the eyes of God? Yes, we are, because God has told us to search for wisdom, search for understanding. And we are truly doing that here at this Bible school. Another word from Solomon. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we put our trust in God, he will direct our paths. Today we don't understand how God does that. We know the scriptures tell us that God rules in the kingdoms of men. He sets up whomsoever he will to carry out his plan. We are quite similar and more precious than the kings or rulers of this earth. As individuals in God's sight, we have entered into covenant relation with him. He can direct our paths. But we must be motivated by his word. We must desire to walk in his paths. He'll make sure that our paths are direct and they are straight. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Oh, yes, you'll say that wisdom of this world, we should get as much knowledge as we can of the things of this world. Brothers and sisters, I don't know whether you having the same reaction to the atomic war, the threat of atomic war that I'm having, but the people in my neighborhood are talking about atomic war. They're afraid. The wisdom of the world is bringing fear upon the population. The wisdom of God brings me peace of mind. I believe you have the same reaction. I know you have. For God has said to you and I, you will be saved. Christ could have, of the stones of Israel, as he walked, he could have raised up an army. And we know that if we should die, should fall asleep before the return of Christ, the first thing that happens on his return is he's going to send his angels to gather his elect, no matter where we are. The wisdom of this world brings fear. The wisdom of God brings peace of mind. Solomon was a very wise man, but his wisdom came from God. In the 13th chapter of Proverbs, he says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Yes, we should choose our friends very wisely. We walk with wise men, we are going to have wise counsel. And if we spend our time with fools, we will have foolish counsel. We are making a self-examination. I'm not going to tell you what to do, what you should do. But you know how your life is patterned. You know what you do from day to day. Are you following God's word? Is this the type of thinking that is in your mind day by day? Are you looking for God's wisdom and understanding? Do you pray for it? There is a way, Solomon says in the 14th chapter of Proverbs in the 12th verse, that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. So we can't lean on our own understanding. We can't measure what we do by what our neighbors do. We can't lean on our own understanding. We must counsel with God. Yes, there are a few other points. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There are many things written by God in his word. But I think to give more effect to a self-examination, at all times we must consider the words of Jesus in the 5th chapter of Matthew, when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Oh, some are going to say, I can't retain the knowledge that's written in God's word. I can't continually make this self-examination. God knows that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Always have before your eyes the desire for wisdom and understanding of God's ways. You may hear them day in and day out. You may not retain them. The mind is a very fragile piece of equipment. I don't know if you've had the experience. I know I have. I've listened to a brother talk on an evening. I've gone home and I've tried to remember all of the important things he spoke about. And I can only retain a few things. Maybe one or two sentences that are important. After a year, I might not even remember those. And my mind is no different than yours. And so you have to do like everybody else does. Continually feed upon God's word. And recognize that our minds can lose our understanding. We can begin to walk in our own understanding when God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. What is required of us by God in order to see Him? You can get all the understanding, all the knowledge of God's, be able to answer all the questions that might be put to you in this book, and yet you may lack the most important element that God requires of you. And what is that element? It's faith. Faith is a very strange item. When you talk to men of science, they'll tell you, you must have fact. Facts is the only thing I'm impressed by. Those stories that are written in the Bible there, I don't know. You can't prove those. Well, maybe we can't prove them. Maybe we can't prove them. But we have faith. And we have faith that God rules in the kingdoms of men. I know there are many ways in which your faith is developed. There's many ways mine has been developed through the years. But faith is the most important element in our relation with God. For when we get faith, we are motivated to be baptized, and after baptism, we are motivated to walk in the precepts and commandments of Christ. It motivates our desire to get wisdom, to learn more about God and His relation with men, to love Him. We recognize God's love through His Word. For truly He is a God of love. And the first commandment that Christ said, which is the greatest, is for us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second commandment is like it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. For on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yes, these are some of the things that God requires of us if we are to see Him. When will we see Him? According to His scriptures of truth, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ is when we will see Him. That is what the scriptures tell us. The prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This is something we have to do. We have to incline our ear. We have to come unto God. We have to make a covenant with Him. Even the sure mercies of David. This we have done. This is required of us, of God, in order for us to see Him. Book of Proverbs again, the 21st chapter and the 16th verse. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Again, a warning to us. If we want to see God, after we have gone through the waters of baptism, we have entered into covenant relationship with God, we can wander out of the way of understanding. And if we do, we are forewarned that we will remain in the congregation of the dead. We will come up for judgment. We will stand at the judgment seat. That is guaranteed by God, that we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we will see Him. But if we want to see God, we must have eternal life. We must be immortalized. if we wander out of the way of understanding, and we will remain in the congregation of the dead. We know that there is to be a division at the judgment of those that receive immortality. We are also forewarned by David, like the beasts that perish. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. We're told in Luke, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. What day are we talking about? We're talking about the time when Christ is going to come. We've been forewarned in the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish. The five wise kept their lamps well trimmed with oil. They were waiting for the return of the Master. We are waiting. We are searching. If we could only, through prophecy, determine the exact day and hour when Christ would return, we would all have our lamps well trimmed with oil. Do you know there's only one element in prophecy that's unknown to the brotherhood? And that is when Christ will call us to judgment. We can discern the signs of the times. We know when certain events are to take place, but the length of the judgment is the unknown factor in your life and mine. If we wait too long, Christ may return. Oh, we'll see the events take place. I mean those who have not been baptized. We'll see the events take place, and the King of the North come down upon the mountains of Israel, and certain events take place. But we won't be able to escape. At that time, it's too late. And so it behooves us, if we're planning to be with God, to see God, to take action today. For we do not know the day nor the hour when Christ will return and gather his elect to judgment. And how long the judgment will take. Oh, I know some have said it may take a very short period of time. It may take 40 years. Well, maybe in our discussion of prophecy on Wednesday night, some of these points can be discussed. I believe that it's important to us. If we want to see God, we must consider all of the facts. Time is important to us. Shortly, the door is going to be closed. We don't know the day nor the hour. But we do know that Christ is to return, he's to gather his elect, and there will be a judgment. And that if we are fortunate enough to have developed in our lifetime, during our probationary career, characteristics acceptable to Christ, we will be with him and rule and reign for 1,000 years as kings and priests. Now, I've come to the conclusion that you can get all the knowledge you want, but there are few elements that are more important than knowledge. And they are to faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and charity. For if these elements have not been nourished and developed by you during your association with God and his word and his walk and his conversation, you will be found wanting at the judgment seat of Christ. These are elements which any individual making a covenant relationship with God can develop. You do not have to be a college student to develop faith, or virtue, or knowledge, or temperance. But you must develop these simple characteristics. They were displayed by Christ during his ministry. and he is our pattern. He is the one we have to follow if we are to see God. Yes, these are a few of the elements that we must consider if we desire to be immortalized and to, at the end of the 7,000 years, at the end of the reign of Christ, to see God. Yes, we will see him, and that is my hope, and I know it is yours. So, in conclusion, how should we appear to God from a self-examination? Not our own understanding. Let us take God's word. For there we learn what is required of us by God in order to see him. And that is the most important, the greatest treasure that we have in this earth today, that God has held out to you and I, that we mortals can have an opportunity to see him.